Take God's word this morning. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I've been thinking and praying this week, knowing that this is our last Sunday of this 2019 year, and what the Lord may have for us as individuals and as a church. And I was thinking, one of my goals that I would like to become scripturally is a healthy Christian. A healthy Christian. And I thought, wow, this would be a great theme for us as a church. And I was looking through the scriptures trying to find a good verse. And we'll get to that in just a second. But I want you to notice in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, "For God has not given unto us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." Keep your focus on the word sound mind. Then if you would, skip over to chapter 4, same book. Chapter 4, and if you would, look at verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this year that we have experienced, of course, ups and downs, good times and bad times. We pray that, Lord, through the good times, we've been grateful and thankful. And also, even through the difficult times, we've been thankful and have learned and gained confidence in you because you've created us. And, Father, you desire the best for us. And there's times of testing that you desire for us to grow and not stay the same spiritually. And so, we are looking forward to a new year. And I pray, Father, that the goal for this coming year would be, as we develop within our own selves, to become healthy Christians, that as a whole, as a church, Arlington Baptist Church would become a healthy church. And I pray, Lord, in the weeks to come, as we learn the marks of a healthy church, Father, we'll be able to pray about those things, make sure that they're evident and alive in our lives, and Father, that we would become that and grow, become more like you each and every day. We love you, and we thank you for this time of opening up the Word. And Lord, we thank you for your blood and your body that you shed for us, that you loved us that much, that you were willing to do that for us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll turn real quickly over to Exodus 20:20. This will sort of be an easy verse to remember. Exodus 20:20, as we go into 2020. I thought it would be a really good, powerful verse. This would be our theme verse for the upcoming year. Exodus 20:20. "Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear, for God has come to test you or to prove you, and that His fear may be before you, so that you may not sin.'" You know, that's our ultimate goal, that we would not sin. You know, he said, first of all, don't be fearful. And we recall that even in the Christmas story this year. You remember in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20, where the angel came to Joseph and said, "Do not be afraid, for the news that I bring you comes from God." Then we look over into Luke chapter 1 and verse 13, where he came to Zacharias, which was John the Baptist's dad, and said, "Do not fear, do not be afraid." Also in Luke chapter 1 and verse 30, when he came to Mary and said, "Mary, do not fear, do not be afraid." Then, of course, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, when the shepherds were out in the field, the angels came and said, "Do not be afraid." So there's sort of a negative fear. We should not be fearful. But yet in the verse, it says His fear. And what that means is that we would be so responsible and so respectable and so in awe of who God is, that we are His creation. He's created us to live lives of holiness and godliness, that we would not sin, that we would serve the Lord, we would study His Word, we would continue to follow as the Spirit of God leads us. So I thought it was a really neat verse to think about. We're not to be afraid. Hey, God's still in control. But we are to fear Him. We are to fear and to respect and to reverence our God because of who He is and what He's called us to be. Now, I don't know about you, I watched a lot of football and going to continue to watch a lot of football. But after Thanksgiving, you have those good meals, and then Christmas, you have all those good meals. And then all of a sudden, you start looking at the television, and they start talking about Bowflex. Then they start talking about that mirror. They got this new thing where you look into a mirror and somebody's actually going to lead you into some type of exercise. Then I noticed the Nordic track, the Golden Gym trainer, and then Peloton. And then when they don't get you there, then you see Nutrisystem. Then you see Weight Watchers, and it sort of gets to you. And you know, it's amazing how much time and effort people put into getting back their physical stamina, their physical energy, losing weight, and spending all that time and money, which is good. We need to be in shape. We need to be in good form. But also, what about our spiritual lives? What about our spiritual bodies? Are they spiritually flabby? Is there a need for spiritual exercise? Is there a need for spiritual truth to help us to get back in shape spiritually as we begin and start a new year? You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, he says, I beat this body and bring it under subjection. In other words, Paul said the key thing is discipline. And that's a tough thing after you've gone through Thanksgiving and Christmas, to discipline yourself to get back to what we were doing and get back in shape. But I think that's one of the greatest things about the Word of God. It teaches us of being sound. And you remember we read in 2 Timothy 1:7 and 2 Timothy 4:3, it talked about a sound mind and a sound faith or a sound strength. The word sound, we get our word healthy from. We actually get our word hygiene from. So what it means, sound mind, it means a healthy mind. It means a wholesome mind. And for us to be spiritual, strong believers in Christ, healthy, we need those kinds of things. I just want to give you a list of those. I'm sort of going to throw our guys into a different kind of thing. Keep it there. But if you're taking notes, I want you to look at the second point. Because I want you to look at, we need, first of all, to have sound teaching. Sound teaching. We'll get back to that one in just a second. And if you'll notice, Paul, we know that he wrote 13 books of the New Testament. Possibly 14. There's sort of a debate over Hebrews. But if you look at the last three books that Paul wrote, he wrote to two individuals in two difficult times in their ministries. One guy by the name of Timothy, and he was the pastor eventually at Ephesus. And you go back to Acts 19, you see how awful things were going on right in Ephesus. And we also find in Revelation chapter 2, you know, there was a command from the church there, you know, you need to go back and remember where you came from, repent of your sins, and repeat what God's called you to do. And history tells us that the church of Ephesus did not do that. In fact, the light was put out, and it wasn't effective, and had no influence during those days. But Paul writes, and it's amazing, the last three letters, and most of his writings deal with Timothy in his pastoring of that church, and Titus, who was on the island of Crete. And it was a real difficult situation as well. And constantly, Paul is saying, keep studying the Word. There's false teachers. There's false preachers. In fact, in our verse, if you'll notice in chapter 4, verse 3, it says, for the time will come. Ladies and gentlemen, the time has come in this society where the Bible says they will not endure sound, healthy, wholesome teaching. I mean, we're in a day today, ladies and gentlemen, that people do not, they don't like preaching. We want to get in here, we want to sing, we'll take up the offering, and Pastor, let's have a short sermonette for Christianettes, and let's get out of here. But I tell you, it's important, and it was important to Timothy, it was important to Titus, that they would be ready and aware to take on the confrontation of the world system. You ought to know by now the world system. And all that it believes and all that you see on TV and hear on the radio is contrast to the Word of God. And how important it is for us, what? To know the Word of God. That when error comes, we'll be able to say, I know that's error because the Word of God says this. I know this is not right because the Word of God has this to say. But Paul, in teaching Timothy, says, they will not endure sound, healthy doctrine. The word endure means tolerate. They don't even want to tolerate the Word of God. I have to go back to Nehemiah chapter 8 when they were having revival. And in Nehemiah chapter 8, now ladies and gentlemen, some of you might like this, some of you may not like this. But they found the Word of God, they found the law, and they opened up the Word, and they preached, and they spoke the Word of God for 6 hours. Hello? How would you like to go and sit in a 6-hour sermon? Most of us wouldn't. But isn't it amazing? We can sit and watch a ball game for 4 hours and it doesn't bother us. We can go elsewhere. We can watch TV. I mean, we can do all these kind of things. It takes hours, and yet we're not interested in a 30-minute or 40-minute sermon. You know, something's got to be wrong. Something's got to be wrong. What I love is in Acts 13, when Paul went into Antioch of Pisidia and he preached the Word of God to the Jews. The Bible says the Gentiles begged him. Did you hear this? They begged him, please come back and preach to us this word. It was at this particular time that, of course, you know, Paul came and he was confronted with the Jews. He preached to the Jews. He preached to the Gentiles. But it's in this setting of Acts 13 that finally he says, I've told you the truth. You're not interested in it. I'm going to the Gentiles. And he went, and the Bible says the whole city came to hear him preach the Word of God. So it's important that we have sound teaching. You say, well, Brother Rick, isn't that happening all over the United States? Well, no, it's not. I mean, I don't know about you, but you know, we're on DirecTV, and there's like 200 and some channels. I'm looking, of course, me being a preacher, I'm looking for some preaching. I'm looking for some godly people on the television to preach. You know what? It sure is hard to find some. Now, there's a lot out there that are prosperity gospel. It says, hey, you can be prosperous in everything. You have a Cadillac, a boat. You can have all these kind of things. And there's a lot of guys out there like that. But there's not that many out there that are preaching and teaching, thus saith the Word of God. And that's sad. But the thing is, the Bible says it's coming to that time and we're there. He said there's coming a time where they will not tolerate or endure sound doctrine. But notice what it says. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. In other words, they're looking for somebody to tell them that the lifestyle that they're living is okay. Then they goes on to say in verse 4, and they will turn their ears away from the truth. You know, there are folks who are not interested in the truth. Now, they love to get some dirty stuff on you. If they hear something that's maybe a gossip, instead of trying to go to the person maybe they've been talking about to try to find out what's going on, no, they begin to spread the gospel. But it says here that they're not interested in the truth of the Word of God. And they're turning aside to fables. But then Paul says to Timothy, he says, but you, verse 5, but you be watchful in all things. Endure affliction, Timothy, because you're going to have it. Remember 2 Timothy 3:12 says, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He said you're going to have to endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, because there's a lot of lost people out there. Tell them about Jesus. Give them the gospel. Talk to them about 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. The life of Jesus, the birth, the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. Preach to them the gospel. Paul said when he got those elders there in Miletus, the elders of Ephesus, they came down south to a place called Miletus. It was his last time he's going to see these guys, these leaders in the church. And he said, listen, I am free from the blood of all men because I have constantly preached unto you the whole counsel of God. And see, that's what we need to hear today. You may not like to hear the tough stuff, the difficult stuff, but it's because He loves you. And when you're off the path, He wants you to get back on the path. He wants you to realize where you've gone wrong and to repent, to turn it around, get back where you need to be. And He says, but you be watchful in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. I love that because every person in this room that's a born-again believer, God has called you to a ministry. It's a ministry that maybe I can't do, but only you can do. That's what's so neat about the gifts. God gives different gifts to bring us all together, to look at things from different perspectives, to gain the knowledge and the wisdom of God, to catch His heart, to know what's pleasing unto Him. It may be a good idea, but it's a godly idea. And so Paul is very, very confrontive. Same thing in Titus. over and over again. Look, if you would, at Titus chapter 1. You're in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. Turn to the right and look at Titus chapter 1. And notice, if you would, verse 9. Catch what he says to Titus. Hold fast. In other words, get a grip on the Word of God. Hold fast. Hold fast the faithful Word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound, there's that word again, healthy, wholesome, proper doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Now, the Word of God's great, isn't it? It's an awesome Word because there are times that it exhorts us. It builds us up. It's encouraging. It's comforting. It's positive. It's awesome. But there's times when you read it, it'll cut you to the heart. Why? Because you sinned against God. You've fallen short. And that's what he means by to convict those that are contradictory to the Word of God, who are not walking according to God's Word. So it's important that we have sound teaching. And that's one of the characteristics that a healthy church will have. Also, if you look at chapter 2, verse 1, he says, Titus, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound, healthy, wholesome doctrine. So that's what we need. That's the first thing. Now, number 2, we need sound thinking. Sound thinking. Go back, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Again, Paul is talking to a young pastor. He's been ridiculed. There's been times where they thought, well, he's too young to be a preacher. He's not knowledgeable enough. And they sort of ridiculed him a little bit. And something really happened to Timothy. Something happened in his walk with God. Because if you look back at verse number 6, Paul says, therefore I remind you, talking to Timothy, to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. In other words, you know, the fire hasn't gone out. There's the embers. You've been on a camping trip, had a nice fire that you're going to cook on. All of a sudden, the fire, the actual fire is gone. But the ember, you know, not to touch those things, it'll scorch you. But what you do, you start blowing on it, putting certain things on the fire. And what happens? The fire comes back. So something has happened to Timothy in his walk with God. The flame, the fire of the Lord. Something has happened in his walk. And he says, listen, you need to stir up. You need to stir back up that flame of fire that you used to have. In other words, the idea is keep the fire alive. Keep it going. Keep it burning. And then he gives us that great verse, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. That's that negative fear that we read a while ago. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. He doesn't give us that kind of fear because we know where that comes from. Satan brings about that fear. But notice what God does give us. He gives us a spirit of power. We get our word dynamic from that. We get our word dynamite, Acts 1:8. You shall receive power. And so he's given us the power that we need. You know, a lot of folks are asking, Lord, give me power. You already got it. You just need to be aware that the power is within you. The Holy Spirit is the one, the Comforter, is the one that gives us the power to do what's necessary. He's the power that convicts us of sin. He's the power that unveils what this Word has to say. He's the power that we need to stand up against the enemy and this world system. That's the power. He gives us a spirit of power, but he also gives us a spirit of love. That's the word agape, the God kind of love that not a one of us can produce. It only comes as the Spirit of God does that. Galatians 5:22. The Holy Spirit will produce the fruit of love, and that's an unbelievable love. If you've never read 1 Corinthians 13, very, very convicting, that love doesn't do this and that, and love is this and that. It's powerful. It's powerful. Then he says he gives us a spirit of a sound mind, a wholesome mind, a mind that's healthy, a mind that's strong. I read this. I thought it was pretty neat. Let the mind of the master be the master of your mind. Let the mind of the master be the master of your mind. If you remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says we have the what? The mind of Christ. We need to think like Christ thinks. But let the mind of the master be the master of your mind. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks, what? So is he. So what's your thoughts? What you've been thinking? What's the most important thing you've been thinking about lately? You see, I say that's important to give you another verse, Proverbs 4:23. It says, guard or keep your mind or your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Why? That's exactly the first place that Satan will attack you, is the mind. We need a sound, healthy, wholesome, proper thinking. And we're going to look at a verse here in just a second that will give us things that we need to think about. So it's important that we do that. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. A mind that's focused on you. A mind that seeks you. A healthy, sound mind. I like what one man wrote. You are not what you think you are, but what you think you are. Let me say that again. You are not what you think you are, but what you think you are. That goes back to that Proverb chapter 23, verse 7, as a man thinks, so is he. And if you would, flip over to the left to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. This ought to be a familiar verse to you. Philippians 4, verse 8. Philippians is a great book. It's a great book of celebration. It's a great book of joy, a great book of praise. But notice what Paul says. He helps us because there may be a question, okay, if I'm to have a sound, healthy, wholesome, proper mind, what should I be thinking about? And Paul says, I heard that question. Let me give you the answer. He said in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now, the key word is meditate. It means to ponder. It means to think about. It means to consider. It means to dwell over and over in your mind continually what the Word of God has to say. To think about these certain things. I'm just going to mention them because each one of them you can go and look and see how valuable each one of them is. The first word I want you to jot down is honest. Think about those things that are honest. That's what the word true means. It means to be honest. It means to be genuine. It means to be unhypocritical. It means to be sincere. So we're to think on those things that are honest. Then the next word is honorable. He said those things that are noble. The word honorable there means to those things that are worthy of respect. And we know that our Lord is worthy of respect. Amen? He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to give grace. And He's worthy that we announce who He is and publicly declare who He is. He's our God. He's our Savior. He's our Father. He's our brother. He's our friend. He's our lover. The list goes on and on. He's worthy to be praised. So we're to think on those things that are honorable, those things that are of awe, who God is. The next word is harmonious. The word just means right, or that falls into harmony. What greater thing could someone say about Arlington Baptist Church is, you guys have a harmonious church. There's such a love there. There's such a unity that we can just tell by the way you live and how you conduct yourself. We see the Lord in you. Well, we see there's love for God there. We see that there's love for one another there. We see there's the unified spirit there. And that's why Satan hates for a church to be unified. He's in the dividing business. He wants to divide churches. He wants to divide families. He wants to divide just in your personal life. That's his desire. He does not like unity. He does not like harmony. He does not like oneness. Because I'll tell you one thing that I've learned and am learning. You show me a body of believers who love God so much and who love each other so much, and they begin to pray and are on the same page, Satan better watch out. That's what he does not want us to become. He doesn't want us to learn the kind of people we are. He doesn't want us to learn our identity in Christ. He doesn't want us to learn the power that we have, the love that He's given us, and all the neat things that are found in the Word of God. He does not want us to be aware of those things. And Lord knows, He doesn't want us to apply those things in our lives, to flesh those things out, that people would see Jesus in us. Healthy churches do that. Healthy Christians do that. That harmonious, unified spirit. Next word is holy. He wants us to think about those things that are pure, those things that are holy. The next word is humane. The word lovely. The word lovely has a human aspect of it because of Christ's love speaking through us and living through us. The actual word means to be kind. It means to be pleasing. And you know, isn't that why we're here? We're here not to please ourselves or do things that, you know, that's going to, you know, whatever, but you know, for our success, we're already successful, you know, Jesus. You know, if you've been saved by God's grace and heaven is your home, you're successful. Amen? There's no doubt about that. Man, we have heaven as our home. And I tell you what, things look getting bleaker and bleaker and darker, but yet we ought to be brighter and brighter because Jesus Christ is coming soon. Amen? Christ is coming soon. A lot of folks don't believe that. I heard people say before, well, you preachers have been doing that for 50 years. Well, we're going to keep on doing it because we know it's a fact. He's going to come in His time when He gets ready, when that last person on this earth receives Jesus, God's going to turn to His Son and say, okay, go get your church. And it's going to be too late for some folks. But it's going to be glorified time for us. It's going to be awesome. And so we're to think on those things that are humane. Then those things are highly reputable. That's what the word good report means. Things that are courteous. Those things that are kind. Listen, it's always great to hear good reports, isn't it? I mean, so many times this world is so negative and so pessimistic. I don't know about you, but you know, I get sort of tired of hearing those kind of stories. But it's awesome when someone praises Jesus or when someone lifts another brother up. That's why we're here. We're not to beat anybody down. We're here to lift people up. We're here to glorify the Lord. We're here to praise Him for who He is and what He's doing in our lives. And so a good report is great to hear about. Then the next word is healthy. We're going to hear a lot about that word virtue on Wednesday nights when we start our new class on everything you need. Everything you need. Ryan will tell you a little bit about that in just a little bit. But the word virtue means moral excellence. Moral excellence. That's what He wants us to be, is morally excellent. And the word that we might be a little bit more familiar with is integrity. You don't want to lose your integrity. You don't want to lose your integrity. You want to be strong. You want to live in such a way that God's glorified. And then the last thing is heavenly. Things that are praiseworthy. Things that are heavenly. We ought to think about those things. With all the things that are going in our lives, I think Paul hit it. He's got enough stuff here. He's got enough stuff here to keep our minds constantly flowing in the right direction, heading in the right direction, giving Him glory and giving Him awesome praise. Now, I'm just going to mention the last few and we're going to close. But all throughout the Scripture, you'll see that word sound. 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 The third thing is sound terminology, the way we talk. Look, if you would, go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And if you would, look at verse 13, 2 Timothy 1:13. Paul says this, hold fast, there's that word, take a grip, don't let it go. Hold fast the pattern of sound words, which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. It's important what you say. Did you know the Bible says, from out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So it's important that our hearts be right, that what comes from the heart would be good terminology, sound words that are uplifting, that are glorifying. Then if you would, go to Titus chapter 2 and verse 8, just going to mention this, sort of similar, sound talk. In verse 8, he talks about sound speech that cannot be condemned. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. Then, let's go back, you're in Titus chapter 2, look at verse 2. There are three mentioned here. Sound trust, sound tenderness, and sound tenacity. Look at it in verse 2. That the older men be sober, means be alert, be aware, be awake. Reverent, We know what that means, reverent. That would be sober and reverent. Then he goes on to say, temperate, sound in faith, sound in love, and sound in patience. Those are the qualities of setting a foundation of what a healthy church is all about. And we got to look at our own selves and say, Lord, do we have these things in our lives? Is this a good foundation for me? Am I in these things in my life? Do I have sound faith? Do I have a sound mind? Do I have a sound trust? Do I have a sound tenderness? These are things that we need to think about and pray about and say, Lord, I'm lacking this area. I'm lacking that area. Give me grace. Give me strength. Because I want to be a healthy Christian. I want to be a healthy Christian among healthy Christians, that we might go forward in this next year and see some unbelievable God kind of things that will happen that we'll give Him praise and glory for. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You, Lord, for today. Lord, it's a lot of meat here, a lot of meat. We could have stayed here quite a while. But Lord, it gives us an idea. It gives us an idea of what a foundation can become. And Lord, we definitely need sound teaching. Lord, I'm thankful for our teachers who come on Sunday mornings, who prepare their lessons all throughout the week, who pray over their lessons, who teach their lessons with boldness in Bible study at 10 o'clock. Thank You for godly, sound, wholesome, healthy teaching in our Sunday school. Lord, I know in my life, I would never stray anyone. I don't want to give my ideas of what I think, because that's not important. What's important is what You think and what You desire and what's pleasing to You. And so, Lord, we want to always, when we open up the Word of God, whether it be on Sunday morning or whether it be on Wednesday night Bible study, Lord, that sound truth, sound teaching would prevail. Lord, continue to help us to have a sound mind. Because, Lord, I know how the devil works, Father. All this week, I don't know about these other folks, but there have been all kind of thoughts, all kind of different directions that have been placed in my mind that I knew, because of what the Word of God had to say, that this did not come from God, that it came from the enemy. And renounce those things and rebuke those things and say, I'm to think on those things that are true. I'm to think on those things that are noble, those things that are pure, those things of a good report. And so, Lord, I pray, and why we can do that and how we can do that is reading the Word and studying the Word. Lord, my prayer is, as I challenge myself and challenge Your people, that, Lord, we would bring our Bibles to church. Father, we would open them up every day, at least to spend 5 or 10 minutes every day studying the Word, rightly dividing the Word, listening to the Holy Spirit. Because, Lord, I pray for a hunger. Lord, I pray for a longing. Lord, I pray that our people, myself, would have such a more of a hunger for the Word of God, that, Lord, we would read and study, that, yes, we would care about our physical body, but yet we want to care about our spiritual bodies, that we would eat the right foods. Matthew 4:4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So, Father, may this year be a different year, Lord, that the Word of God would become so strong that we'd be like the Gentiles in Acts 13. Lord, please, share these truths with me. Lord, open up my mind and my heart to the Word of God. And Father, when that happens, the Spirit of God will begin to work. He may begin to point out certain things that we need to pray about. We need to repent and confess to Him. And that's good news. Because, Lord, we want to be pure in Your sight. Lord, we want to magnify Your name. Father, we want people to see Jesus in us, that we would live in such a way that would honor and glorify You, Lord. And we praise You in all things, and give you the glory and the honor which is due to You and due to You only. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.